Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Burning Hearts, using scripture to draw us into a deeply intimate conversation with the Lord. Rachel asks us to consider two questions. What is God saying to us? And what are we doing about it?
Hello, friends, and welcome back to Burning Hearts with me, Rachel Herbeck. And we are in the middle of our week of taking up passages in Colossians chapter 3. And like usual, we've only gotten through a couple of verses. Well, actually, literally one verse of putting to death what is earthly in us. That's what we've been talking about the last couple of days as a response to the greatness that God is calling us to, as a response to who we are in Christ. God has this amazing destiny for us. He's calling us to become something new in him, and he's given us the strength and the power to do it. And he says, therefore, then you have to put these things to death. Put these things to death. And so we were talking about that over the last couple of days, and I want to encourage you to go back and listen, to listen what the Lord is saying to us over the last couple of days, because I think he's moving deeply in the spirit here. And the Lord, I know for me, as I was reading these things over the last couple of weeks, has been putting his finger on things for me in my heart. And I want to just give an encouragement, because the Lord really convicted me. As I think sometimes when we read this, we read it as like outside of ourselves. And we need to give the Holy Spirit permission to convict us. And the Holy Spirit was showing me how much I give the Holy Spirit permission to convict other people. How much I read something and I'm like, I'm really praying that this person is convicted about this. And the Lord is like, it's just not your responsibility to worry about what I'm convicting other people of, but your responsibility is to grow in love and allow me to convict you. Because sometimes it can be a defense mechanism to be like, oh yeah, like I know these passages. I know what I'm supposed to be doing. Like I'm trying to walk in holiness and like, oh, I see this person that's in my life, or maybe it's your husband or maybe it's your kids. Like they really need to grow in this. And I'm not saying we don't like desire other people to grow in those ways, that people don't grow in those ways. But the Lord's saying, focus on you and allow me to come into your heart. And so there was ways when I was reading this that the Lord was like, there was impurity of heart that's slipping in with you. There was idolatry that's slipping in with you, and give me the permission to speak into that, because the Lord, friends, is always purifying us in his mercy. And the more that we let him purify us, the more that will bear fruit in our relationships. That you don't have to be concerned about what somebody else is doing, about what somebody else is taking to the Lord. Yes, we love people, and yes, we speak into their lives. Is that what I'm meaning? But it's like sometimes we read something and we're not actually allowing the Lord to convict us. And I think there's grace. There was grace for me as I was reading these passages. And I think there's grace for all of us for gentle conviction. Jesus is calling us deeper, and holiness is possible. Not just doing external cool things for the kingdom, but real radical change in the secret place where no one sees. That I'm desperate. I want my actual heart to be different, not just what people see of me, not just what people perceive of me, not what other people think of me, but I want my heart to belong to the Lord and to be different, to be made new. Amen? Amen. Okay, so let's pray, and we're going to take up the next couple verses here. We're going to try to get through a few verses in the middle of our week here. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Lord Jesus, we love you. We love you, and we receive right now your love for us. That each one of us, you have chosen us before the foundation of the world. You have your eye on us, Lord. Your tender, gentle, loving gaze falls upon each and every one of us. And we thank you for that. We thank you for who you are, who you've created us to be, Father, in Christ. And I ask that you would speak to us through this word, that you would bring your gentle but firm conviction into our hearts, that we may know that we know that we know that you are calling us into a deeper place with you. Amen. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. So put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you: fornication, impurity, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming. In these you once walked when you lived in them, but now put them all away: anger, wrath, malice, slander, and foul talk from your mouths. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old nature with its practices and have put on the new nature, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. Here there cannot be Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free man, but Christ is all and in all. So he's saying, put to death these things that are in you, fornication, purity, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. On account of these things, the wrath of God is coming. And I want to sit here for a second because we don't talk about the wrath of God. We know about the afterlife. We talk heaven and hell, all this kind of stuff. But this phrase, the wrath of God, we tend to skip over because I think when we think about the wrath of God, we think about God being mean. God is going to be mean to us about these things. We don't like the word wrath. And so I want to take a minute to dig in. What does this mean? Because there's something very important that's being laid out. That Paul is saying, if you persist unrepentant, right, without desire to grow, on account of these things, fornication, impurity, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, and he'll say more things later, these are the things that the wrath of God is coming down upon. Because of these things, the wrath of God will come. And that doesn't mean it's like, okay, by the time you die, you have to have everything perfectly rooted out of your life. And if you don't, that means God's wrath is going to come upon you. But there's a turning away. There is a turning away from these things that God's saying, I want to see with my grace. And if we don't, and we form a relationship with these things, and we don't take action against these things, even if they're small actions, we don't take actions, there is a risk that, friends, the wrath of God will come. We know this. It's biblical. It's taught in the catechism. It's not God being mean. The wrath of God is coming. And it's not to scare you. It's not to be like, okay, once again, it's the morning that I'm listening to this. I just turned this on at 6:30 and all of a sudden I just hear, you know, you saying the wrath of God is coming. So what is the wrath of God? I want to talk about this. What does the catechism mean of the wrath of God, right? It's not, first of all, wrath is not an emotional state. And I think we think of too anger. It's not an emotional state of anger in God. And I think this can be really challenging for us because we compare God to a human way because it's the way that we understand him. It's the way that we understand him. But God is not like us. He is like us in some way, or we're like him in some ways, but he's not like us. And so God can be angry and not sin. Wrath is not God getting super agitated over things that we're doing wrong. It is God's righteous judgment against sin and the consequence of rejecting his love. I'm going to say that again. Wrath is not God's emotionally agitated state. It's God's righteous judgment against sin and the consequence of rejecting his love. And so what, let's go deeper into this because this can be challenging. In the Catechism passage 370, it talks about when the scripture uses human characteristics of God, they're analogies. They're not literal human emotions. So that's to back up of like that part of the Catechism is saying it's not, wrath does not mean irrational anger. Wrath does not mean irrational anger. The church teaches God is unchanging. He's perfectly loving and he doesn't have the same passions as us in the human sense. And so wrath is a consequence of sin, not a change in God. Wrath is a consequence of sin, not a change in God. And so it's not that God is like seeing what you're doing and he's like, well, now all of a sudden I'm not merciful and gracious anymore. It's a result of what God has to have towards sin. God is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and he permits evil only within the limits of his wisdom and his goodness. So therefore, wrath is the effect of God's holiness. It's God's holiness meeting sin. It's not a mood or a temper. And so it's like, for example, Jesus on the cross, the wrath of God, the cross is the wrath of God coming down on sin, making a just judgment on sin. It's not God. It's not the Father throwing a temper tantrum against Jesus and being like, sin is so terrible. Like, I'm going to kill you. It's the effect of God's holiness on sin that when God, who is perfect, encounters sin, encounters evil, he has to come down on it. It's the state that the sinner experiences when rejecting God's love. And so God's love doesn't change towards you. When the wrath of God comes on account of those things, And when the wrath and the fury of God comes again against evil, it's not a change in God. It's not God being like, well, your time ran out. Now I don't love you anymore. So I'm throwing fireballs at you. This is how we, and it's like funny, but this is how we think of it. God's love is constant. But when the sinner, at the end of time, there will be a time when the final decision is made. And for a sinner that's turned away from God and chosen not to follow him and chosen to stay in those things and not put those things to death, someone who has purposely chosen to persist in sin, turn away. And that causes God's judgment because God has to judge what is evil. There are temporal, and the catechism talks about there's temporal consequences of sin that remain sometimes even after forgiveness. And then mortal sin obviously results in the loss of charity and separation from God, which then can be redeemed. But there's these consequences that we feel. Like the church fathers often said something of like the same sun that melts wax hardens clay. God's love is constant. It is our heart that changes. And so when we turn away from God, we experience his love as wrath because of we've rejected this. His wrath is justice. And this will all be done in the final judgment. The last judgment reveals the consequences of each person's acceptance or rejection of grace. And you're like, okay, why are we yes, we get it, the wrath of God. This is so important, friends. This is a key teaching of the church, that we're afraid of how we'll respond. We're afraid of how others will respond. So we whitewash it. We take it out. We don't want to talk about God's wrath, but the reality is our hearts are yearning for God to be just. We want God's judgments to come upon the earth, and the form that that will be in against evil is wrath. We want there to be wrath against evil. We need there to be. If God does not bring wrath against what is evil, he is not good. It's a gross violation of his goodness. And so there's a thing to pay attention to. If God wants us to put to death these things in us because it's good for us, but also because these things is what will cause God's wrath if we persist unrepentant in blindness, in impurity, in fornication, then God's wrath will come. This is the teaching of the scripture. God's wrath is coming. And this is what the prophets were saying. God's wrath is coming. Don't fornicate. God's wrath is coming. You know, wipe out your impurity. Israel, stop having idols. And what happened to the prophets? They were killed for saying this message. Because we want to hold on to our selfishness. We want to hold on to our pride. We want to erase the reality that God is coming again, and that God is not completely, totally happy with everything that we do. We have to tell ourselves, God is complete and totally happy with me. Otherwise, I can't handle the crushing weight. God loves you. He loves how he made you. He's happy with you. He hates your sin. And we want to mature in the reality of, I want God's judgments upon me. There's a passage that says, when the judgments of God are in the land, the people learn righteousness. We want to learn righteousness, the righteousness of God. And we want to tremble. We should tremble at the wrath of God. The wrath of God is coming. Lord, help us to be prepared. Amen.
Burning Hearts is hosted by Rachel Herbeck, the Director of Young Adult Discipleship for Renewal Ministries. Each program can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and at RenewalMinistries.net. Burning Hearts is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Throughout the scriptures, Jesus' teaching on the conditions for salvation are consistent, urgent, and often very challenging. Friends, I'd like to offer you my friend Pete Burek's new booklet, What Must I Do to Be Saved? This booklet unpacks several gospel passages to help us find and stay on the narrow way. To get your free copy, call 1-800-282-4789 or visit renewalministries.net/burninghearts. That's renewalministries.net/burninghearts.